Blog Talk Radio.
And I want to welcome you to another night of Spiritual Connections Radio. As you know, this is our new time slot on Mondays from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we're really excited about this new time slot. And with that, I want to just kind of mention to you that if you want to find out more about this show and other shows, we've been adding a lot of new people to our shows and everything. Tomorrow night, we're actually going to have our men's show, which is 1 hour from 8 to 9 on Tuesday, where we have a special guest coming on, and that's a show that we designed to help men have like a support group for their spiritual journey. So we're really excited about that show for tomorrow night, so make sure to tune into that. And all these shows and everything are on our website, which is spiritualconnectionsradio.com. You know, it's funny, I was listening to the song. Let me go ahead and bring Pam in. Hey, Pam.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Mark. Nice to be here tonight.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. We were commenting before that Pam has a new microphone that she's using, and she sounds great. So I'm really excited about that.
I always sound great, Mark.
This is true, but now I can really connect with you at a whole different level.
Oh, good.
There's more of you now. you know, it's funny because we're listening to the song, which is our standard startup song, which we've had since we created Spiritual Connections Radio. And we talked about dreams, and tonight we have a really special show because we're going to talk about dreams tonight. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and hand off to Pam to do an introduction because I'm going to go over and do some advertising on Facebook to all our friends about the show. And I'll be back in a little bit.
Good. All right. We'll wait for you. Well, you know, the last part of that song, the last line says, dream, dream, dream. Life is but a dream. And so Mark's right. It's really appropriate for tonight's show. Tonight we have a columnist who has written over 100 inspirational articles for the site BeliefNet called Blessings Abound, and she has another blog about navigating a diagnosis of early breast cancer. She is also co-editor of the Dream Machine page on the popular site All Things Healing. Currently, she's working on several books in various stages of gestation, like myself. Anyway, welcome to the show, Cynthia Greb.
Thanks, Pam. Thanks.
You're welcome.
I am thrilled and honored to be here, and I just have one small little correction, that it's the Dream Medicine page. It's the Dream Machine page. So I just wanted to make sure that was clear.
You're welcome. That's an important
distinction. Yeah.
Correction. So it's the Dream Medicine page.
That's right.
On the popular
site
All Things Healing. Good.
Right.
All right. Thanks for doing that. All right.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Welcome. I wanted to ask you to start with, Cynthia, and I was actually so curious. I asked you before the show came on, and we decided to wait until the show started. But I wanted to ask you how you got into dream work, because that's such a fascinating subject for everyone.
Yes. Well, thanks for asking that. I have certainly been keeping track of my dreams and recording most of the ones that I remember.
Cynthia? Hello?
Yeah,
I think
we
lost her, Mark. Yeah, I think
right.
we lost her.
So we'll wait for her to dial
she
back in.
She should be
in.
Calling back in just a second.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and throw
Are you
some
there?
Music on first. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and throw some music on for a second while I go screen the callers or for her to call back in, okay?
You know, you're digitally breaking up, too. I don't know if it's just my board. Hey, we're back. Looks like Cindy's finally got through. So we're just waiting for everybody to check in. Mark,
I'm back.
Cindy?
Oh, I'm
yay.
I'm so sorry. How interesting. Okay.
We lost
so did you.
Did
you hear anything?
No, we didn't. Just started talking, and then we just started talking, and then all of a sudden it kind of digitalized your voice, and then you were gone.
Oh, dear.
So I'm sorry to make you start over again because I'm
no
sure
worries.
It was really interesting.
Well, I'm sorry to the listeners for that blip there. I'll have to assume there was a reason for that. So around the year 2000, like about 1999 to 2002, it was an extremely rich time for me spiritually. I was in sacred ministries, learning to be an interfaith minister. So I was learning all kinds of wisdom traditions from all different faiths on the planet. Mm-hmm. I had a group of beautiful people that were my classmates, so it was another community that was forming. At the same time, I was connecting with people who were learning traditions of the Lakota people. Some of the Lakota elders were sharing some traditions. And I was very blessed at that time to have experienced to witness for Sundance, which is a very sacred ceremony that happens in the summer among many of the Plains Indians. And I had also done my first vision quest. So all those things, you know, twirled around together just kind of catapulted my dream world into another level of beauty and sacredness and intensity. And at that time, I got the very strong feeling that at some point I needed to write about sacred dreams. So that's when the germ of the idea first.
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good.
Can
that you scared
me?
I thought
okay.
we lost you again. Yeah. So that was when the idea first sort of catapulted you into writing about dreaming.
Yes, but it was very specifically sacred dreams. Okay. I had been writing down my dreams for several decades in my journals, but mm-hmm. at that time, the dreams felt more sacred, more profound. There were, it felt like there were teachers and animals and, you know, medicine men and all kinds of people coming into my dreams at that time with, you know, messages and wisdom and inspiration and just to uplift me. So I was grateful. And, yeah.
So that's when you started working with dreams. You've been working with dreams for many years then.
Right. I would say I'd been aware of them, but I hadn't necessarily been working with them consciously up until then.
I see.
And since that time, I had also gotten my master's degree and took some dream work classes at that point. And so I began to have a better understanding of how to work with dreams. And so I do mm-hmm. that with the kind of dreams that most people think of. I do that as well. But it's particularly sacred dreams that feel like messages from spirit that really fascinate me.
And how do you tell, if you wouldn't mind sharing with our audience, how do you tell the difference between a dream that would be manifested through emotional issues that you're going through that you're maybe trying to work out at night to a sacred dream where a teacher would come? How do you know the difference?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think sometimes there's not a rigid distinction. But my definition is, my parameter, if it feels sacred, then it is. So if it feels extra powerful, if there's someone of extra power that's appearing, if you're feeling it in your body with more intensity, if it lingers with you, you know, then to me that's sacred. And it can vary from person to person. But I think there's some dreams that just kind of feel like almost a subconscious scrambling of the day's events. And there's dreams that you work with on your therapist. And those are really important dreams. They have a lot to tell us. And I honor all dreams for sure because they all serve a great purpose.
I see. I know Mark has some questions, and I wanted to give him a chance to jump in there. Mark, are you there?
Yeah, thank you. I was just fixing my microphone, so I'm glad you gave me some extra time there, Pam. You know, one of the things that's been interesting that I've been talking to a lot of people about lately is how we have visitations from loved ones that happens in a dream sometimes. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Yes, I totally agree with that, and there have been many, many stories about that. I just have one that I would like to share, if I may.
Yeah, please.
Okay. So I had been living in New Mexico, and I had returned home with a very strong intuition that my family was needing me at that time, my parents and my brothers and sisters. And during that time, my mom had a heart attack, and I decided to stay there a little bit. And I got a dream, two dreams that were right one night after the other. The first dream told me that it was very, very important that I go to Wales. And there was not a lot of plot or content in the dream. There were just this very clear verbal message, it's important for you to go to Wales. And I questioned it because I had just decided to move there to help on clarifying, are you sure, really, honest? And they kept on saying, yes, you need to go to Wales. So I put that in the back of my head and decided I needed to find a way to make that happen. And then the very next night, it was in the morning actually, I had awakened and I had done some prayers to the directions. And then I was tired and I went back to sleep and I was awakened with a vision of my great-grandmother, who I never met. Her name is Helen Keen Jamison. And in most of the pictures I've seen of her, she has kind of this stern countenance. But in my dream, she was smiling. She was holding her arms out to me. And I got the sense that she was approving of that trip to Wales, and she was very, very glad that I was going to make that trip.
Okay. Wow, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. How about you, Pam? Do you have any visitation dreams?
I can't say that I've had any visitation dreams of people that have passed on in my family. I do have sacred dreams where people, where mostly guides, come visit me. And you know, the standard things like I'll be walking down the street, and then I'll be skipping down the street, and then I'll be jumping, and as I jump, I go higher and higher in the air, you know, and then I'm flying, and I've had lots of dreams like that. Answer this for me, Cynthia, if you would. I've always thought that there were like three different types of dreams, and maybe you can elaborate a little more on this for me. The first kind is like the emotional working things out kind of dream that I mentioned before, where there might be an issue in your life that's kind of emotionally unclear. And
right.
So events play out in your dreams that help you straighten that out. And then there is the time jump dream, people that have deja vu a lot, where in your dream you jump forward or sometimes backwards, but for the deja vu you'd say forward, and then catch up to that point in your waking period and say, oh, I've been here before, and you were there, and you said this, and it's exactly the way that it is now. So I've seen this before. And then kind of an astral plane dream where you're kind of in the soup, and first you're in the desert, and then you turn around and you're in your office, and then you look over there and your third grade teacher is standing there, and it's kind of this jumble of images and pictures and things, not only from you but from other people as well. And I guess there's a fourth kind of dream as well. There's like the parallel life dream where you experience something, you wake up and you're in this dream and you see your father there or your husband or your children, and you know that's who they are, but they look different. And it's one of those dreams that's so real that you could come back and make a little drawing of the pattern on the couch you were sitting on. You know, I mean, it's like extremely real. Do you know what I'm talking about? Can you add anything to that? Do you see anything that's really not a typical dream in that?
Oh, I think they're all wonderful examples of the many, many kinds of dreams that are out there. I think there are so many categories of dreams, it's pretty difficult to classify everyone. And there are
okay.
so many different systems in the world, because the Western model is very, you know, kind of clinical, mental, psychological, and very much oriented to individual. And then there's indigenous cultures, which they are very much look at it completely differently. For them to look at something and have it mean something personal is almost laughable. You know, they believe dreams come through because they're meant for the community, and they share their dreams with other members of the community or with elders of the community. So there's just so many different ways of looking at dreams, and they're all valid, and I think we all have different kinds, and they will vary from different times in our life to where we are and who we're with and the experiences we're having. So, yeah, it's a very, very, very rich and broad category.
That's true. Can we talk about lucid dreaming for a minute? Did you have anything you wanted to add there, Mark?
No,
I want to hear
about lucid dreaming.
All right. Lucid dreaming, I think, is one of the most fascinating concepts of the dream state. And I wondered if you could share with us your ideas and concepts of lucid dreaming.
Well, it surely is fascinating. I think there are the kind of lucid dreams that happen without any intention on our part, and then the kind that we actually kind of cultivate and work with to create more lucidity. And this is actually not my area of expertise. I've certainly had some. I understand for sure the validity of working with dreams and creating more lucid dreams, but I'm just so happy to get dreams, you know, however they come. I don't feel the need to shift them too much at this point, unless it's a nightmarish kind of dream, and then I oftentimes go back into it and I kind of redream the dream. So.
Okay. Now, another thing that I've read about dreaming when it comes to sort of ethnic groups, like you mentioned the Aborigines earlier, I know the American Indians feel this way too, that when you're in a dream, that sometimes other energies come in, like demons or negative energies that would cause you to have a nightmare. Do you see it that way, or do you think it's just part of your own fears playing out, or could it be both?
Well, I really embrace the teaching of Jeremy Taylor, who is a very well-regarded dream teacher, author, and expert, and who happened to be a teacher that I worked with at Naropa, the University of Creation Spirituality. Jeremy teaches that all dreams come for the purpose of our health and our healing, and that includes, quote-unquote, bad dreams. So I totally embrace that concept, that no dream is all dreams are for our healing, all of them. We might have to work with them. We might need assistance, but yes.
That's fascinating, because I've really never focused much attention on the idea that everything was for our healing. You know, if you have beautiful, amazing guides that come in and create sacred dreams, then you're also, from my perspective, open to other things as well, especially if you're moving around the astral plane at night, you know, and when you're sleeping. For example, I have a lot of lucid dreams, and the thing that'll kick me into lucidity the fastest is when there's another energy in my space, and I can feel it. Whether it's a sacred energy or, like last week, for example, I had a dream and I was walking in this big old house and there was a beagle, just a little beagle dog sitting on the floor. And when I walked by, I glanced down and he stared at me right in the eyes, and it's like, oh shit, I know what's coming. There's an energy here. And it kicked me into lucidity. And then I pushed myself back to an awake state. So you don't believe that there's anything that comes in that moves towards us?
No, I'm not saying that. There could be different energies that are there that we're uncomfortable with, and I believe that may be an opportunity for us in our waking life, or to redream the dream and actually. There may, for instance, be an opportunity to converse with something that we're afraid of in our dreams. And once we begin the conversation, we might uncover some really profound information. But I don't mean it to sound glib, because everything's different. And certainly there are all kinds of, you know, there are examples of people that, you know, might be possessed for a period of time or whatever. And, you know, that's a different situation. But,
I've been known to be possessed for a period of time.
But I would like to say that, what was it? With the being that you create, with the being that you encountered and you felt fear around, I remember distinctly a nightmare I had once where I was being chased, you know, with guns or knives or whatever, and I was doing everything I could to keep away from them, and nothing was working. And at that point, I don't know if I came into lucidity or not, but I called out to my creator, to my God, goddess, spirit, source, and I said, take me to another dimension. And then I woke up. And after I woke up, I thought, this is the other dimension.
Yeah, that worked.
So I escaped from the quote-unquote bad guys by waking, which is what you did too. So,
well, you know, sometimes, like, if somebody's following you or chasing you, it's a general emotion. What always strikes me, and, you know, I'm a medium. I deal with all kinds of negative energies and positive energies as well, but I'm open to both sides of this all the time. So I often pick up energies
that kind of
hang around. And what happens with me is when whatever it is staring me in the face. It's like suddenly they're looking right at me in the eyes. It's like, and I'm not necessarily afraid. I don't feel fear. What I feel is, okay, we got another one. You know, it's like, okay, I got a live one here. And I've got to deal with this.
Yeah.
Because I used to get scared to death until it would stop popping me into lucidity and I would realize that I was dreaming. So, like, in this, I think the first dream that I can remember was everything was going fine. I was in some kind of cafeteria. And then I went into this little broom closet. And then all this weird crap started happening. And as soon as, I mean, there were like nuns who were starting on fire in the closet, all kinds of bizarre stuff. All kinds of bizarre stuff. And then I realized there is an energy here that is trying to scare me. Now, you know, have you done any work with Carlos Castaneda? Do you know about his work, like The Art of Dreaming?
I do. Yeah, I do.
What do you
I
think about all
tons
that?
Of, well, I read tons of books about shamanism and medicine people. I mean, almost everything I could find on it, actually. And for some reason, Carlos Castaneda's work seems to have a somewhat darker energy for me, and that's just, you know, my opinion. So I don't want to call that energy to me, and so I choose not to focus on his work as much as other people's work that I admire.
Oh, good. That's a nice thing.
And it makes sense to me that hearing, being reminded that you're a medium, that makes sense that there'd be other energies, all kinds of energies coming to you. They probably are looking for someone, I imagine they're looking for someone
to help,
who they can speak through or who can hear them or see them. So you probably have different experiences than some other people do.
Well, that's probably true.
Yeah.
So tell me about your dreams. Do you have lucid dreams? When you dream, do you get up in the morning and evaluate the dreams?
I almost always, unless I'm just so thoroughly exhausted, I don't have the energy to. I almost always wake up and jot my dream down whenever I have it. So it often, sometimes that can be 3, 4, 5 times a night. And sometimes, you know, I sleep pretty soundly. It's just toward morning. I've had beautiful, beautiful dreams. I've had dreams with guides. I've a lot of animal dreams, a lot of animal dreams. I have occasional dreams that feel like past lives bleeding through. I have dreams sometimes where a song will come to me or a ceremony. You know, I have some dreams that feel like they're meant to be shared, that they're not just for me, but they're for the world at large, just like the Native people believe. You know, some dreams are meant for the community. So, you know, so I don't know if I directly answered your question or not, but.
Yeah, you did. It was lovely.
Okay.
March up in here whenever you want. I have a question about
vision. The one question I had, though, is you had talked earlier about how the work of that other person, as far as you were concerned, was a little bit dark. So for a lot of the people who are tuning in this evening who are wanting to learn more about dreams, they're looking to get their feet wet in that. I mean, can you recommend a couple other books?
Sure. I do recommend Jeremy Taylor's books. He's a Unitarian minister, and he's very, very smart, and he teaches and leads dream groups a lot. I love Robert Moss. He is a man who also writes prolifically about dreams and teaches beautiful workshops that definitely have a shamanic kind of energy, where shamanic energy and dream work is done. And I haven't been to any of his workshops, but I understand. I know many who have been there, and I understand they're very dynamic. There's a lot of rich for, and so anyway, I highly recommend him. Who else is coming to my mind? Those are the two that come to my mind most immediately.
Mm-hmm. So let me share with both of you one of the dreams I had, and then we'll go right back to your question, Pam. It's interesting, when I was younger, and it always seemed to happen when I had a fever, but I noticed and I remember, because I don't remember a lot of my dreams, and we'll talk about that later when we talk about dream journals and, you know,
okay.
Is there things you can do to help remember your dreams, because I know a lot of people say they don't. But we'll get to that later. But it's interesting, one of the reoccurring dreams I kept on having was of a bomb being dropped, like the nuclear bomb in Japan.
Yeah,
and it kept on happening. It seemed to always happen every single time, you know, from the time I was about 6 years old to a little bit older. Anytime I had a fever, a high fever, I always had the same nuclear bomb dream. And, you know, now that I look back on it at this point, a lot of it kind of, for me at least, seems to be, I've done some journaling on it and stuff, is that it seems to be that it's possible that in one of my past lives I actually died in the bombing. So I just thought that was an interesting thing, yeah, to kind of look at it from a past life scenario, that sometimes maybe some of the dreams you're having is kind of clearing or allowing certain things to heal from your past lives, you know?
That was the intuition that came to me, too. So,
yeah.
That's fascinating.
So have they been happening in more recent years, Mark?
No, you know, I think the last time I had it was probably about I think probably about 5 years ago I had it when I was living in my house in New Jersey. That one was a different type of dream because it's interesting because it actually took my breath away, and it's, I don't think I've had too many dreams like that. But I had a dream where New York was going to get bombed by a nuclear bomb, and we were going to actually start World War III. And I actually sat up in bed in a panic, and I actually hesitated because I was waiting for the explosion blast. Not that I even knew that the bomb went off, but it's almost like I knew the bomb had hit, but we hadn't actually seen it out in New Jersey yet. So I was just sitting in bed in fear, just waiting for the shockwave to come and actually destroy everything. And so it's funny because lots of times when I talk to friends, I talk about, you know, we have some of those nice dreams we wake up from and we just want to go back to sleep so we can go right back into them again. This is not one of them.
Yes, really.
So,
well, that does sound like an extremely intense one. And it's interesting because sometimes it's hard to tell because – you know, it's hard sometimes to tell. We worry that it's prophetic, so that's our fear. Sometimes I think it can be symbolic of something that's going on in our personal life, and sometimes it can be something that's foretelling a future, and it's very hard to differentiate sometimes. So what I have been taught is that it helps to work on dreams on several levels. So be aware that it could potentially be a predictive kind of dream, but also work with it as if it were, you know, if you have a therapist or a friend that you can work with or a dream group, that, you know, possibly it represents something really powerful happening in your life that's just, like, has enormous consequences. For instance, you know, like I've had many, many flood dreams, and they can be both about floods in the future, or they could be about, you know, feeling overwhelm or a big change or big emotion or whatever. There's many, many different ways to interpret it, and only you will know what feels right.
Yeah, I actually have a friend of mine now in Arizona that I talk to quite a bit, and every dream that she has actually occurs, and they're all disaster-based. So the fires, there was the airplane crash at the air show. She actually called me a day before to tell me she had a dream about an earthquake, and then the next day was when we had that earthquake that went from Virginia Georgia actually all the way up to Boston. That major earthquake we had on the East Coast. So for her dreams for her are very scary because there's validation consistently in everything that she dreams, or not, I shouldn't say everything, but most of all the dreams that she has manifest as disasters.
Wow. My heart goes out to her. That must be a heavy burden.
Yeah, it is. It is for her. So going back to your question, Pam, you were asking before.
Can I interrupt, Pam?
Sure, go ahead. Please.
I just want to also just quickly address Mark's nuclear bomb dreams from when he was a childhood, if I can.
Oh, that'd be great.
That sounds interesting. Yeah.
Let me get on the couch and lay down. Hold on.
And I'm sorry, Pam. I hope you don't mind, but this feels important.
No, not at all.
Okay. I've been taught, and I believe this is profoundly true, that it's important to honor our dreams, and when we have ones, especially ones that feel significant, to do something to acknowledge that we remember the dream, we heard the dream, we receive the gift of the dream. Like, for instance, in the Talmud, there's a line about an unexamined dream is like a gift that's never opened. So anyway, what I was going to suggest is a way to possibly help heal that, especially if it was a past life, or transmute it. You might consider doing some kind of personal ritual to help you process those feelings. And you can feel what feels right to you, but things that are coming up for me are a lot of, after the bombs dropped in Japan, a lot of them started creating those peace cranes. Are you familiar with what I mean by origami?
Yes, I do.
Have you ever seen
them?
Okay. Yeah. So, for instance, that's something that happened in that culture that people would do that did experience the bomb, and they would make like a thousand of those cranes for healing. So maybe even just making a couple. Or I know when we used to honor Hiroshima Day, because I was a peace activist for many, many years, on Hiroshima and on Hiroshima Day, we would send out candles on boats down the river just to kind of honor and remember what happened and to kind of help transmute the energy. So I'm just putting out some thoughts. Only the person who dreamt it can figure out what's a good form of action to take based on the dream, but sometimes I think it's important to take some kind of action just to say, okay, I heard you're trying to tell me something. I don't know what it is, but let me just honor it in some way.
No, that's beautiful. I think that's something I would definitely incorporate and do. But I want to actually take it a little bit further and have you clarify it a little bit larger and say, for a lot of people who are listening to this who have a lot of dreams, that idea of what you just gave us, which is beautiful, when would a person determine with their, with their discernment, when would they decide when, because we have a lot of dreams. So
that's
what
true.
Kind of dreams do you think would kind of be – I don't want to say worthy, but I'm going to use that as an example.
Sure.
What kind of dreams are worthy of that type of reflection?
Yeah.
Or honoring?
Yeah. Well, I think each person can probably discern that. If it feels like there's a suggestion, there's something that's being done in the dream, it could be something as simple as throwing a party for friends. If there was a party and there was a feeling of lightheartedness at the party, it might go. And if there's a, sometimes I think when we have health conditions, like for instance, I had a dream once where an alarm went off in the room where the health class was in the school, and I, woke up and thought, maybe I should get a checkup, So I think each person will just have to discern what feels like there's a message there, what feels important. And nobody else can really tell them,
Well, thank you for that. That's a beautiful gift, not only for myself, but for everybody that's listening to this.
Thanks, Mark.
Okay, go ahead, Pam.
That's true. Okay. I wanted to ask you a question about, I think dreams everybody experiences. We have the overwhelm dream. I have a neighbor who is a good friend of mine who told me once about this dream that she's had for many years, where she goes to a new city with her husband, and they check into the hotel, and she's not really paying attention, and she doesn't have a cell phone, and she's traveling around with her husband, and suddenly in this new city, and suddenly she's lost her purse, she has no phone, she can't get a hold of her husband, she doesn't know what hotel she's staying in, and she's suddenly lost in this big city in overwhelm. And she has the dream over again and over again and over again. And then there's obviously the naked dream. The dream where not a sensual naked, but an embarrassing, horrible naked, where, you know, I think everybody through high school goes through this at some point, where, you know, you're standing in your high school cafeteria holding your tray and then you realize that you're completely naked, kind of dream. You know, do you, first of all, do you think you need to use the dreaming as a way of diagnosing your emotional state? And number two, is there, I mean, you talking about healing, you just told Mark a good way to heal a dream that was extremely intense and deserved a response. How often, and I suppose how intense does it have to be? Does it have to be a reoccurring dream? And
well,
what do you do?
Yeah, well, recurring dreams are a very clear sign to me that there is a message that keeps on trying to come through. So if a dream recurs over and over and over, definitely I feel like that's a dream that should be talked out with someone in a dream group or a therapist or whatever to kind of uncover what the deeper meaning of that dream would be. As far as the naked one, there are a lot of dream dictionaries out there, and a lot of them, some of them have some stuff that feels right and a lot that doesn't feel right. And but in general, the naked dream, what I have heard and which feels really true and on target for me, is it's a feeling of being exposed. So and of not being able to hide. So if I had naked dreams where I was just really feeling ashamed or embarrassed, I might think, where in my life am I feeling exposed? Where in my life am I, not able to hide, you know, and just let myself kind of work from there.
Right. That's interesting.
I can't remember what the first one was that you were talking about before that.
Oh, my friend Diane's overwhelm dream, where
she's
lost in the city without any way to get a hold of anybody.
Yeah. Well, just the fact that you mentioned overwhelm and lost, I think, again, it's a very similar thing. Where in my life am I feeling overwhelmed? Where am I feeling lost? You know, and then, you know, obviously it's helpful to work with a therapist who can help with those feelings. But sometimes, you know, if we're good at journaling or dialoguing with ourselves, we can kind of uncover some of those. I love dialoguing with pictures of my dream. I find that's very, very rich. So sometimes just, you know, doing autonomic writing where you just, you know, where in my life am I feeling lost? Where am I feeling exposed? You know, have I lost my identity? Sometimes losing your purse is about losing your identity. Losing your cell phone could be about losing your connection, you know, with the invisible realms. Those are some possible meanings of some of those pieces of the dream. So
that's really fascinating. Thank you so much.
So I guess I have two questions for you. One is, you know, I know for myself this was something I noticed for a while, and I know a lot of people talk about this, and that is sometimes you just don't remember your dreams, and I mean just consistently. So that's the first part of the question. The second part of the question is, you know, what can you tell us about people starting a dream journal?
Okay. So when people say they have trouble remembering their dreams, I have a couple of suggestions, some that I came up with myself, some that I've read, and they all make sense to me. Sometimes I think, you know, we're just sleeping very soundly, and we might be dreaming but not being conscious of the dream. So certain things along these lines can help. So if you drink water before you go to bed and you have to get up to pee, it's an opportunity for you to come to a conscious state. And before you even move out of the bed, it's important to say to yourself, was I just dreaming? Even if it's just a little, fragment of a dream or a little an image that was in your mind, even if you can't remember a whole dream, before your body goes into motion, just ask that question, was I dreaming? Because sometimes I think, you know, so many of us, we just have our alarms and we're just catapulted out of the dreaming world and the sleep world so fast that there's no time for us to kind of sit with what may have just transpired. So it's important so one way to do it is to wake up in the middle of the night, and obviously if you have to go to the bathroom, you'll wake up. Another way is on the weekends, set an alarm, and, you know, when you wake up in the morning, just let yourself lay there in that kind of, you know, in-between space, and just, you know, just see if any images or thoughts come to you at that point. Another thing is, even if you remember only the smallest little teeniest bit of your dream, write that down, and that tells your subconscious that you are serious about wanting to remember your dreams. And once it realizes you're serious, it will start giving you more. And if you just write down each time, you know, it's sending a message out to the universe. I want to know my dreams. I'm ready to hear my dreams. So those are a couple of thoughts.
Well, thank you. Go ahead, Sam.
Before I answer the dream journal one, I want to just back up a sec. And this is related to the dream group, actually. I may have not done this correctly myself. That's why I want to correct it. But in the class, what Jeremy Taylor taught, and I think this is absolutely, absolutely true, that whenever anybody shares a dream, and I'm embarrassed that I didn't do this format, it's appropriate to say, if you're listening to a dream, if it were my dream, it could mean this. That was is telling anyone what it means. They're just saying, if I dreamt it, it might mean this. And then you can take it or leave it. I remember one time telling someone a dream and her saying, this is what it means. And I almost felt like I felt angry, and I didn't know her well enough to tell her, please don't do that. You know, that felt so inappropriate. So if I have done that today, I hereby apologize. Please call me on it in the future.
No, you haven't. You haven't done that.
Okay. So I'm not sure where we were. Go ahead.
You were going to talk about dream journals for a second.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of people have beautiful dream journals. Some people like to have unlined ones so that if they want, they can sketch out something. Verbal descriptions of dreams are sometimes challenging because dreams are, you know, action-oriented. And words can kind of still that action sometimes, whereas if we sketch an image, for instance, it might bring the feeling of the dream more immediately to mind. So some people have beautiful dream journals that they create, that they might, you know, make elaborate covers, and they might have sketches and poems as well as just descriptions of the dream. Personally, what works for me is to not have my dream journal separate from the rest of my life, because things that happen in my waking life may be pertaining to my dreams. And so I like to look at both of them simultaneously. It makes it a little bit harder to go back and find the dreams later on that way, but it's different for everybody. You know, different things work for different people.
Thank you for that.
And some people certainly just type it right in the computer.
Okay, go ahead, Pam.
Well, you know, we started off in the show, and Mark was saying that in the song of the show, the very last line is dream, 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 life is but a dream. And I mentioned that after he introduced me, and I wanted to bring it back up again simply because if you look at the construction of a dream, it's often a world, an environment that's generated by an emotional issue or an intention, something to fix, something to do. And I was wondering what you thought about this dimensional reality. Are we living in one dimension after another dimension after another dimension? Mark, it looks like she's dropped again. Is she back? And she's on mute. Do you know what's going on?
Let me check. Hold on. There we go. Thank you.
Hi.
Okay. Did you drop again?
I'm sorry. Apparently.
Okay. So what was I asking? Oh, life is but a dream. And I was saying that dreams themselves are a construct of an environment that's constructed by emotional light is basically what it is. And when we wake up, we say, oh, thank God, that was just a dream. Or whatever it is, that you regard the dream as not something real, and where you are right now is real, even though where you were a few minutes ago in the dream felt very real. What I want to ask you is about the reality of this dimension. Do you believe that this is also a level of a dream state?
Yeah. Again, I think different cultures have different ways of viewing the dimensions, and so I don't know if I can answer that in one way. But I
just wanted to find out what you thought.
I think you're right. It's a different dimension. It's not the waking world. It's not the sleeping world. It's the dreaming world. And sometimes we the dreaming world and we're not even fully asleep, you know, if we're just kind of in a liminal state, you know, if we're maybe on the beach listening to the waves, or, you know, if we're by a creek listening to a waterfall, we might, you know, hear, we might see some visions or lapse into a dream. So I agree. It's a slightly different dimension. And I don't know if this is an appropriate place to share it or not, because it's not specifically about dreams, but I do
this
want to
say
that.
This is very appropriate.
Okay. Thank you. Those of us who are listening to this radio are probably from the United States. And in the Western culture, you know, we're very trained to be in the scientific mind. Is there an echo happening on your end or just in my end?
I hear it.
Okay. I don't know what to do about it.
There's nothing to do about it. It just stopped.
Okay. So we're trained, you know, from early childhood to look at life in a more scientific, literal way. We're trained to use our brain. And anything that doesn't fit into the five senses, you know, we're taught is not real. And in many, many cultures around the world, that is not the case. You know, many cultures believe that the spirit world is interacting with us all the time, and it's right there with us. They believe in the invisible realm, and they don't have this rigid distinction between what is real and what is not real. There's a beautiful book, a powerful book by Maladoma Somei called Of Water and Spirit. And this thing is very clearly demonstrated there. His father was a very well-respected medicine man in Burkina Faso in Africa. And he was kidnapped by the Catholic priests and taken to a school where all indigenous languages, names, beliefs were literally beaten out of the children. And they were brought up, you know, in the European way of, you know, math and English and whatever. But he, when he was around 16 years old, he ran away, and he actually walked thousands of miles back to the village of his birth. And the elders were very concerned because the way that he used to believe had been beat out of him, and they were afraid that the white man's ideas would actually pollute the ideas of the villagers. And so they decided that he needed to go through an initiation with the other younger boys, because they, you know, get initiated at the age of about 12. And if he survived, you know, if he could do that, then he could stay. And long story short, you know, everybody else was experiencing beautiful beings and spirits and dimensions that he just literally couldn't perceive because he was taught that they're not real. And it took him a long time to get to the same place as the other villagers. But now he is actually a bridge between the worlds of the indigenous people and the white man, and he helps teach both of them about the other. And I have a small story to illustrate this point as well. I was part of this spiritual community where we were doing ceremony, and we were doing singing, and we were doing rattling, and we had been doing this, you know, a couple times a month for over a year. And at one point, I heard the sound of rattling, of a rustling beads behind me. It was very distinct, and I was leaning against a door. I was leaning against a wall. So there couldn't have physically been anything behind me, and yet I very distinctly heard this sound. And so I opened my eyes and turned around to look, you know, even knowing in my head that there wouldn't be anything there because it was a wall, and the sound stopped. And so later I asked my, I told my teacher what had happened, and he said, well, of course, you know, when you turned and you looked and you opened your eyes, you took yourself out of the dimension you were in. That's why it stopped. It's not that it went away, it's that your perception changed.
Mm-hmm.
Illustrate what we've been talking about. Share both those things.
Hmm. That's excellent.
That's great.
Hey, Cindy, can you go ahead and give everybody your website so they can find out how to get a hold of you and find out more about your work?
I confess I've been dragging my feet on my own personal website, but there's several individual ones that I can give to you.
Okay.
One is dreamingsacreddreams.wordpress.com, and that's a blog I've just started recently. And currently on BeliefNet, if you go to Blessings Abound on BeliefNet, I am not currently a columnist, but all of my past ones, are you there?
Yes.
Hello? Okay, good.
Yep.
All the past ones that I've written are there, so people can look at them. And they can also go to allthingshealing.com/dream medicine.
Can they reach you at any of those places?
I'm going to go ahead and give my email address. It's Cynthia Greb, G-R-E-B, @gmail.com.
That's easy. Good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's excellent. So in closing, what do you want to share with people about dreams in general? Just some final point.
I think the most important thing is that dreams are a gift. I believe that, you know, spirit is aching for a way to communicate with us. And, you know, because we are so busy and have our fingers in so many pots and, you know, we're always on the computer or the phone or talking to people or watching TV or whatever, that we aren't always attuned to the messages that spirit wants to give us. And dreams are one way spirit can come through to give us messages for our own healing and our own upliftment and our own guidance. So I encourage everyone to start paying attention to your dreams, to honor them, and if you are having trouble figuring out what it means, to seek out someone to support you in that endeavor.
Excellent. I'm already sent you an email because we want to have you come back on a different date and talk about earth healing ceremonies.
Oh, lovely.
Because that's definitely, that would be really great to have you back. And
absolutely.
Always, thank you. Thank you, Pam, for being here. It's always great to have you on.
Oh, you're so welcome. Yeah, it was
fun. Thank
you, Pam. Thank you, Cynthia. It was lovely. Good information.
Thank you.
All right. And I want to say goodnight to both of you and thank you. And you've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio.
Bless you all.
Bye. Good night.
Thank you.
Life is but a dream.